Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Today, I've got a little different show. I get a lot of questions sent to me about certain topics, and after answering those questions, a lot of times I'll send them back to a previous podcast episode where I've interviewed an expert on that same subject. And they tell me they've never listened to it before, but it was some great information and it really helped them. And after 35 episodes, a lot of great stuff gets buried. And I can see from my analytics how many downloads I get for each episode. And you always got to check your numbers so you know what's going on and you know what works and what doesn't. But the downloads start tapering off as time goes by. But I still get a couple hundred downloads each month, even after a show that I've had going for 3 or 4 months. So as an experiment, I thought today I'd take one of the most popular shows that I've had and put it back out for all the new subscribers that I've got that may not have heard it before. And that show is How to Get More Online Reviews, which is a free and no-brainer way to get more leads that convert into sales. This is what happened to me last weekend that shows why this is so important. And I've got three stories to go along with that. The first one is, one of my garage doors breaks, so I've got to get my guy out to fix it. And I think it was time to replace him, so you know, it's going to be a pretty good order. The problem was I couldn't remember who I used. Even though I thought he was a great guy and I would have just had him replace him, whatever the cost was, I just couldn't remember what his name was. So what a screw up on his part. All he had to do was send me a little flyer or newsletter once in a while, and this wouldn't have happened. Are you listening to this, contractors? Here's the tip. Like many of you, they'll just say, they'll call me if they need me. Yeah, right. So I go into the garage, and on the wall are three stickers from three different companies. And over the years, I must have called three different guys. Again, there's no contact for many of them. At least the last guy should have taken off the other stickers. It's like, duh. So what do? I write the three names down, go into Yelp, and check out the reviews. So the first guy has about 50 reviews, and most of them are all 5 stars, but he had some fours and even a few threes. But he had 50 of these things. So I had to really dig through the 5 stars to find the threes to see what kind of problems they had and see if they were able to satisfy those guys. Most of those were they were showing up late or didn't show up for their appointment on time. But what really made the difference to me was how they responded. Basically just said, I'm sorry this happened to you. We apologize. We're going to learn from this mistake and move on. They didn't get into a big online argument. They just said, thanks for the feedback. That's awesome. The next guy, he had about 10 reviews, and one of them was this 2-star review that just jumped right off the page. And that guy was pissed off. But there was no response. There was no way I was going to call this guy. But I didn't even call the third guy. You know, with 50 reviews, I just called the first guy. And he came out, replaced my doors. It's about $5,000. I mean, it was a nice order. Like I said, it's a no-brainer. So what do your reviews look like? Do you take the 2 minutes and respond to each one? Because that makes a big difference. Just a quick, hey, thanks for the business. It really matters. The next story is, I simply need to get some new towels. So I go on Amazon. 1,000 reviews for each of these towels. It's crazy. Who takes the time to leave a review for a towel? I just go to the one with the highest rating and buy a bunch of towels. It's simple. Everything these days is about review. So are you missing the boat compared to your competitors? And the last story, which I think is the most important, Last week I go to the dentist and I got to get a crown on. It's $1,500. But I love my dentist. He did a great job. I'm thrilled. So as I'm leaving, they have this sign in the waiting room that says, "Hey, leave a review for us on Google." Okay, well, I'd be happy to do that. So maybe when I get home, I'll leave a review for him. But if I was pissed off, you better be sure I'd go home. That'd be the first thing that I'd do is leave a crappy review for these guys. Anyway, I get home, I get busy, and I forget about it. So I don't do it, right? That night, I get an email from the dentist that basically says, "Hey, could you leave a review on either Google or Facebook? Click here or click here." I'd be happy to do it, but I'm busy, so I just delete it. A couple of days later, I get another one. Same thing. Busy, delete. A couple of days after that, I get another email. And this time I wasn't really busy, and all I had to do was click the button. It says happy or not happy. I click on happy. It takes me to Google, explains how to leave a review. It's simple. I do it, tell them I love these guys, and it's done. So the point is, if I was pissed, I would have left one in a minute. But even though I was happy, it just took them asking for one. Not just one time, but they asked me 3 times before I did it. But they made it easy. And that's what's important. So I assume if I had clicked unhappy, probably would have taken me to a place where somehow they were going to make it right. And I had that choice. And that's before you want to have that before they leave a really crappy review for you. So that was great. So if anybody asked me for a recommendation on a dentist, I recommend this guy, man. They've turned me into a raving fan. It's the same thing for contractors. Online reviews really matter. And along those lines, reviews for my podcast really matter. So if you guys are getting value out of this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you would take the time to leave a review on iTunes for me. And I make it easy for you. You can go to the website at theroofershow.com, click on leave a review, walks you through it. It is a little complicated for iTunes, so I lay it out, and it's something that I would really appreciate, or you can get it below in the show notes too. But if you have a chance, it really helps increase the rating for the show and kind of spreads the word, so I would really appreciate it. So enough of that, but let's get into that original interview, which was episode number 6, on how to build an online reputation and get more online reviews with Aaron Hockel. Hey, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Dave. I'm happy to be here and excited to be a guest.
Great. Hey, I mentioned to you I was down at the Roofing Expo down in Las Vegas last month, and I saw you speak, and you did a great job. You had a couple hundred contractors down there and talked about, I think the title of your speech was Building a Plan to Control Your Online Reputation. And it was a great talk. You had some really good stuff, and so I wanted to have you on the show to talk about reputation management, what it is, and so forth, and see if you can get some information to our roofing contractors out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would, like I said, I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the feedback on the kind of session I led at Roof Expo, and I would be more than happy to kind of share and expand on that for your roofing audience on the podcast.
Great. So let's get into that. What is online reputation management? And as a roofing contractor, why do I care?
So yeah, so two-part question there. So the first part, what is online reputation management? The short and sweet answer is basically, it is what the internet says about your business. So it's compiled based on your reviews, news stories about your business, your social media pages, your website. Really, it's sort of if someone looks up your business about the internet, what does it say? It's kind of the 2017 version of your reputation in the local neighborhood between all the business owners and homeowners, but just in an online format. So that's kind of what online reputation is from a high level.
Okay. So I know now online reviews are really a big deal. You got Yelp, you got Google and House. How important is that and how do I manage that?
Yeah, great question. All those sites, and there's a couple more that really matter as well too, right? So we say that the online reviews really matter to roofers first and foremost because people are going to use word of mouth to find businesses and be looking up businesses based on other forms of advertising. So kind of before we dive into what the reviews are and all about that, the reason we really stress their importance to our roofing clients is let's just say you're running radio ads, a billboard, you're canvassing neighborhoods, your trucks are wrapped, you put out yard signs, right? You do all the other marketing things. And then when someone sees that and responds to that, they go type your name into Google. We want Google to say that you're the greatest roofer in town, right? And so it's sort of that idea that Google has become the phone book, but it comes attached with a lot more information about your business. The idea of the reviews and why it matters to roofers is really that when someone types your name into Google, boom, there it comes. You know what I mean? There's your Google reviews. There's your Yelp reviews. All that matters. Taking that a little further too, there's a lot of consumer level data that basically says that more people are likely to read reviews than not read reviews when they're going to choose a home improvement services contractor, right? I believe it's something like 75% of consumers say that they now read online reviews before making a hiring decision or a buying decision about businesses and services. Mm-hmm. So the reality is that 3 out of 4 people who call a roofing business are already going to be looking into your reviews and seeing what the internet kind of says about you. So there's that side of it, right? To kind of hit on your question there was like, what about the different review sites? How do I manage the process? Let's look at that in two parts, right? So what are the review sites? Really anything that comes up as a Yelp, Angie's List, Home Advisor, House, Thumbtack, Porch, Facebook, Google actually has reviews right on it and they're very important. Those are all ones. The BBB is a big one as well in the contracting space. Those are some of the ones right at the top of head that just kind of come right out as being important. There are definitely some secondary ones as well, but those are the biggies right there, with our opinion being that Google, Facebook, Yelp, Home Advisor, Angie's List are probably the 5 most important to a residential roofing contractor right now. Mm-hmm. So I think that answers part of that question. What was the other part?
Well, I was going to say that I noticed if I put in, I'm in the San Francisco area. So if I put San Francisco roofers, for instance, you get Yelp. That's exactly what you said. You get Yelp, you get your Google and your Google Map. And all of these are going to be your first line items that show up. So there really are no names of roofers that show up on that first page of Google. It's all review sites.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a huge issue, right? Different topic for a different day, maybe, but the reality is that Google's giving a lot more credibility to these sites because Google's job is to provide the best possible answer. So they think that if you type in roofers in San Francisco or San Francisco roofing contractors into Google in their search, that giving something like Yelp, where people can go and read about 10 different local roofing contractors in San Francisco with ratings, with reviews, is actually a better answer than just giving you a roofing business. That can be agreed, disagreed, different topic, different day. But the reality that we look at is that online reviews are not going away. They're only becoming more important and more prevalent. I feel like everything now can leave a review. If you buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, you can get a survey about a review. You know what exactly. I mean? So it's like everywhere you go, you're getting, people are soliciting reviews and posting feedback and doing all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely something that roofers need to adapt for and kind of really learn about the process of driving more reviews, managing reviews, what to do when you get a bad review, right? There's definitely a whole lot of systems and process that go into taking care of this aspect of marketing.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of those. I've just done a job for Mrs. Jones. What can I do to control the process? What can I do to perhaps guide her to getting a review? Or how do I, what would be the process involved in doing that?
Cool. So that's a great question, right? And so we'll talk about Mrs. Jones, the homeowner, right? And we'll frame it up saying that Dave's Roofing, you've just finished the job at Mrs. Jones's house. She's given you her check, and now we want to get a review from her, right? So the first thing that we like to talk about is putting a systematic plan in place, right? And that actually starts, in our opinion, with the last point of customer contact, doing 2 things. Thing number one, saying, hey, Mrs. Jones, can I get some feedback on our job? Did we do an awesome, was it awesome? Yeah, it was great. Okay, would you leave a review for us online? I mean, that's actually one of the easiest and simplest ways when you're face-to-face at that last point of customer contact, right, to just ask. You'd be surprised how effective that can be.
Right. Just ask. You're so right. I mean, just ask. Very few people do because they're either afraid to do that, or I know so many contractors, believe it or not, that they do the job and they're gone. I mean, once they pick up the check, rather than something we always did was a post-job review and walked through it with her and so forth. Now, another thing that we did, which I don't know, I thought was pretty successful during the sales process, is that to explain up front, say, my goal here is to make sure that you're satisfied, obviously, with the job. And my goal is to see that you're going to want to write a 5-star review for us on Yelp. Are we on the same page? Would that be acceptable to you? And before we even start the job, we've planted that seed that we're going to be asking for the review, assuming you're happy and so on and so forth. And that worked for us pretty well.
Oh, that's an absolute home run technique, right? In our process, we always say that it's important to prep the person for the solicitation of the review, right? So what we mean by that is if you say, Mrs. Jones, you're going to receive, someone from our office is going to contact you for feedback on the job. They're now looking for the feedback. So when the request arrives, they're more likely to respond to it, right? If you prep them from the very beginning saying, Mrs. Jones, my goal is to do a home run job, put an awesome roof on your house. And if we do that, we're going to want you to write a 5-star review about us online. That's just one more place in the process where you're prepping them for the ask at the end. We love the idea of having sales guys run a contest to see who can get the most positive reviews. We love people just asking face to face. We also look at some strategies where if those two things aren't desirable to you, what can you do? One of the things that we do is we're a really big believer in this software package right now called Reputation Stacker. It's an awesome software tool. I don't own the company or have anything to do with it or any investments, so I'm not trying to tell you guys what to use, but we think it's great. So the idea behind it is simple. You upload a list of, let's say, every job you completed in the last 2 weeks. You load up first name and email address. You hit go. It'll send out an automatic email to everybody that simply says, hey, Mrs. Jones, thanks for being a recent customer of Dave's Roofing. As the owner, I really value feedback. Can you rate us 1 to 5 stars? Thanks, Dave.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Well, what's really great about it is this. When Mrs. Jones opens the email, if she clicks on 1, 2, or 3 stars, the next prompt says, we're sorry we didn't deliver a 5-star experience. Can you please send some feedback directly to me as the business owner? So we're kind of gathering that feedback before she might go to the internet to write the feedback on a Yelp Angie's List. But the real win is if she says, oh, 5 stars, it was awesome. The next prompt then actually will say, Mrs. Jones, we're so glad you had a 5-star experience. Could you help us out and leave an online review for us at Google, Angie's List, Facebook, or Yelp? And it includes a link to all the different sites where if she clicks it, it's going to go straight to the right page. And all she has to do is start typing her review.
Yeah, that's great. Because you got to make it simple and you've got to make it easy for people. Otherwise, if you just say, leave it with, hey, can you leave me a review on Yelp? You know, most people have never left a review before, so they don't know what to do. So you've got to really lay this out step by step, make it easy and quick for them, and they're going to be more likely to give you that review.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we typically include in kind of that message, if on the when they give you the 5 stars, our message simply says, we usually also include in there, will you take 60 seconds to write 2 or 3 sentences of feedback about your experience for our other customers and prospective customers to see about us? So we also set the stage that, hey, Mrs. Jones, we appreciate it, but guess what? It's also only going to take you 1 minute to out of your day to kind of help us out in a big way. Mm-hmm. So we think that, and the tool also, if you do 25 roofs a week, it really allows you to touch all those people in a really automated and really powerful fashion. So we think it's a great tool. And it's just like anything else, building system and process makes everything easier in the long run. So we think it's a slam dunk, right? And we've seen great success for our existing roofing clients using it.
Exactly. And it's amazing to me. Very few people will actually leave a review just because they don't think about it. But if you ask, likewise with me, if I'm satisfied with a service, I'm happy to leave a review. But if they don't ask me, I'm not going to do it just because I'm busy and so forth. But if I had a great experience, I'm happy to do it for you.
Oh, yeah. It definitely takes some prompting, right? And that's kind of rule 101, right? Kind of the old school, ask and you shall receive. In this arena, you will still get some here and there, but if you ask, you're going to get a lot more. People always kind of ask me, hey, what am I going to get? What should the expectation be? It's different for every business, but just as a frame of reference, we've seen one of our clients in Baltimore, a roofer doing under $2 million a year in sales, so not a huge shot by any means. During a 4-month period from November, December, January, February of last year into this year, they were actually driving about 7 positive reviews a month. And that's their four slowest months of the year. So, I mean, it can really work if you put the system in place and are diligent about using it and getting the solicitations out.
Yeah. And you definitely have to have a process where it just happens the same way every time. And boom, 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 boom. And you're going to get a lot better results that way.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how do I and which sites do I want to direct them to? What's important? And you say pick three. Which sites would those be? What am I going to do? I'm going to have a link that goes to those sites and maybe a little explanation of how to do a review, perhaps, or tell me about that.
Well, so you won't even really need an explanation, honestly, because I mean, the way the software works, if you go down the software road that we're talking about, this reputation stacker, I mean, they're going to click on the right link and they're actually big logos. So it's even easier for people. And it's going to like basically take them to the page and it's going to have like the cursor flashing and they can just start typing. So it's pretty effective in that regard. In terms of what sites are most important, that's a challenging question. It's a two-parter. The answer is a two-parter. So part one is if you are struggling on a certain site or you have a bad reputation on a certain site, that would be the most important to your business, right? So if Dave's Roofing is really struggling to get with its reputation on Angie's List, Angie's List is going to catapult to maybe the top of his list if he's doing okay everywhere else. But if Aaron's Roofing is really struggling on Facebook, Facebook's going to be at the top of my list, if that makes sense. So we always kind of say like we need to be targeting places where we're not doing well first. The next place we would want to target would be places where we lack any reviews. A lot of these sites run on the arithmetic mean, right? So the idea is this. Let's take Yelp. If you get a one-star review on Yelp, your rating is 1.0. The target that we tell our clients to strive for is a 4.0 out of 5 rating. The research says 92% of consumers will engage a 4.0 or higher rated business. So if you start out with zero reviews on Yelp, the first one comes in as a 1.0, one star. Now you're at one. You have to go out and get 3 5-star reviews just to bring that average to the 4.0 benchmark because it's running on the average. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we say that priority number one, places where I have bad reputation, bad reviews right now. Priority number two, places where I do not have any reviews, right? Because we want to build that cushion. I mean, the idea being that let's say we can get 2 5-star reviews on Yelp and then we get hit with the bad 1-star. Well, we're still going to be above that 4.0 scale because 11 divided by 3 is something 3.9 maybe. You understand what I'm getting sure. at? You're not sitting on that time bomb. The third place, always important, Google, because Google honestly indexes the content of reviews in terms of local SEO. Everybody searches on Google. It's just so prevalent. Facebook, always important. Yelp, always important. Those would be the three that we really emphasize simply because of how prevalent they are, right? And I know a lot of contractors don't think of Yelp first, but they kind of showing up a lot more in search than before. So those would be the next kind of three. If you have 50 reviews and a 5-star rating everywhere else, focus on those three because those are always going to be beneficial to add.
So if I'm starting off saying, hey, I'm buying into this, I need to get my reviews. Sounds like the first thing they've got to do is get a plan and they got to figure out what their reputation is to begin with. How do I do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing about reputation is that it's the big thing where we look at it is saying, what does Google say about your business? Right. And so it's kind of what we call like a search engine results page, which we abbreviate SERP. And so the idea is, let's just say you're Dave's Roofing in San Francisco. If Dave goes on to opens his browser, open an anonymous browser, open a browser that you don't use all the time. So it's not impacted by your past searches. And just type in Dave's Roofing San Francisco and hit go and kind of see what that first page spits back about your business, right? That's a pretty good way to build a plan. You know what I mean? So if you do that and you have 5 stars on the first three, but then Angie's List pops up down at number 8 or number 9, and it has a 1.0 rating or a 1-star rating. Well, now we know we got to kind of go to Angie's List and do a little work. So that's kind of the foundation that we use is sort of looking at what does our reputation look like currently? And then we build our plan to kind of, number one, consistently focus on asking for more reviews, targeting the places where we need improvement. Does that make sense?
Totally. Now, I can see what's going on. Now we're starting to get some reviews. How do I track this? And how do I know when things are being said? Is that through, I know that used to be Google Alerts. Is that still around? Or
Yep, that's a great question. So Google Alerts is still around, kind of, but the idea of using a software like a reputation stacker, or, you know, there's other ones out there too, they just monitor and alert you of all your new reviews. So it's kind of like a dashboard where you can look at everything, see what's coming in, see what your ratings are across these different sites. And it's a pretty good tool. You get a little email alert. You just got it from Reputation Stacker. Boom, Dave's Roofing just got a new review on Howl's or Thumbtack or Porch or Facebook, right? It kind of alerts you as your review's coming in. What's also cool about using a software like that, you can actually integrate it into your website. So new reviews and your current reviews actually just populate in like kind of a scrolling or fading in and out part of your website, if that makes sense, right? So when you're getting these new reviews through the software, it'll actually be flowing to a place on your website as well.
Okay. Hey, let me just kind of as a side, can I, because I want to get everybody to my website rather than something on Facebook or whatever, right? So I want to try to pull them back to my website. And that's where I want my reviews. Now, can I take Yelp reviews and go ahead and put them on my website?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? So if someone leaves a public review on the internet, you're more than welcome to copy and paste it right onto your website, right? People do it all the time. Absolutely. Yeah. From anywhere, anytime. I mean, what we love about the software though, and like using the plugin integration sort of thing, is that when those reviews are coming in and out, as they're coming in and out, there's actually a link where it's like, click to see this review on Yelp, click to see this review on Google, click to see this review on Facebook, where if the person's reading through four or five reviews coming through and they click on it, it's going to show them this is a real review written about Dave's Roofing on Yelp on Angie's List. So there's a little validity behind it, if that makes sense. Because in theory, I could just, no one's going to write bad testimonials on their own website. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So I've got all this in place now. I've got my Google Alerts or some kind of notification system. And all of a sudden, I get a one-star review comes in. How do I handle that? Do I write something back and say, hey, the hell with you, getting a big fight with them on the internet.
No, that's not the recommended course of action, right? So what we always say about bad reviews is that bad reviews happen. It's a part of business. It's a part of life, right? So what we just simply say is kind of understanding that, one, it's an inevitable thing and being prepared for it. Part of the preparation is making sure we have other great reviews around it to combat what the person is saying. Right. And there's two scenarios that we kind of commonly see play out. One being that a review is kind of really unwarranted because they didn't conduct any business with you. Or two, it's about the wrong business. So it's about Dave's Roofing, but that guy worked with David Roofing and it's two different businesses, but they get confused. Right. So that's kind of one bucket of negative reviews that we see. Our recommendation in that space is to kind of just simply say, hey, Mrs. Jones, we don't believe that we've ever been a customer with our business. Here's our name, email, phone number, address. Please contact us because we just want to make sure that if we did work with you and your expectations weren't met, we'd really like to make things right. And that's kind of a generic response to post on sort of unwarranted or inaccurate reviews about your business. Basically, when someone writes something about you that's not, that they've never been a customer. Does that make sense?
Right. So you're saying, now, I can write directly on that review or below that they have some way to respond. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So all the major sites are going to give the business owners an opportunity to leave a public comment as well on the review, where they can sort of say, hey, Mrs. Jones, I'm not sure that we work together. Can you please contact us at this phone number? This, we'd love to talk with you about it further. You know what I mean?
I've got to imagine that's critical, because if you got a one-star review and there's no response to it, that's going to really stick in their mind, as opposed to even saying something like, hey, here's my phone number, call me directly and we'll make sure we make it right. Just any kind of response. Yeah. At least it looks and like so you care.
Most responses are better than no response, right? In the event that the person wasn't a customer or they just wrote something like poor work, two words and that's it, those can kind of actually be just quickly commented on. The ones that we care about and the ones where we really see people having an issue are where they're like detailed about a business, about people, naming people by name, about really like this was a customer and the business owner failed to meet their expectations or obligations, and dealing with what would we basically would say being like a legitimate negative review. Anybody who says they've never done had made a mistake or messed up, they're lying to you, right? So that's why we say, hey, it's going to happen one way or another. Let's just be prepared. So let's say you actually do have communication issues throughout a project and there's delays. One of your crew, a member of your crew makes a mistake and runs over some landscaping and, you know, different, like, let's just say there's real issues or mistakes made throughout the process, right? When that happens, the way we advise tackling it is sort of through a standard response that, first off, we look at these are the steps that a longer response to a real negative review that deserves a legitimate one to take, right? The first thing we like to do is apologize and acknowledge. Mm-hmm. So we basically say, Dave, we're really sorry you had a poor experience, right? Boom. We acknowledge that mistakes were made in the process regarding our communication about when your materials would be delivered and when the job would be completed, right? It is our goal to always meet and exceed our customers' expectations. And again, we are disappointed we were not able to do that in this scenario. We would like to make this right. Can you please contact us at this name, this number, right? Boom. Also, we just wanted to let you know the communication processes that we follow internally have been addressed, and we're hoping that this will not be an issue for future customers moving forward. Thank you again for taking the time to leave feedback, right? So what we're doing there is we're apologizing, we're acknowledging, we're telling them we want to hear from them, we want to make it right, and we're thanking them for giving the feedback.
Well, I was just going to say, didn't mean to cut you off, but you really screwed up if it gets to that point where, and that's why I always find it so important to do our post-job interview, because we're going to find out if there was a problem and we're going to be able to address it before they go public. We found also, because we have screwed up, and through that process, when they've been unhappy, we have fixed it and made it right. And we have found that those reviews are the best kind of reviews, because everybody screws up. It's a matter of what you do afterwards to make it right. And if we can get that on a review that we had a problem and these guys came right back and they fixed it, and that's why we're giving them a 5-star. And what I like to do when in the sales process is, you know, anybody can show you a whole list of 5-star reviews because we all have those. But what's really important, Mrs. Jones, is what happens when something does screw up, because we all do. And here's a list of 5 reviews where we did have those problems. And we came back, and this is how we handled it, and we made that right, and we turned what could have been a bad experience into a 5-star review. And that's really worked for us.
Yeah, and that's a huge selling technique, right? That's a marketing tactic in and of itself, right? To show people when we make mistakes, here's how we fix them. That's a home run. That's the best, right? Unfortunately, the one thing we would simply say in there is, I was talking about all the things you do say when you're commenting on a bad review, right? Some of what you just talked about should be taken behind closed doors. So what I mean by that is getting into the nitty-gritty details of what caused the issue or caused the initial negative review, right? Don't argue and hash out and go through everything exactly in the comments. Don't start an argument. Don't tell them why they're wrong. Don't say you were unreasonable, Mrs. Jones, right? The things that we need to talk about and hash out from a business standpoint should be done offline behind closed doors. And another couple other things that we really strive not to do is we do not ever argue in public, Mrs. Jones, this is why you're wrong. That's absolutely rule number one, do not do. Rule number two that we always say is we don't offer them anything. Mrs. Jones, thanks for your review, Mrs. Jones. We're so sorry you weren't happy. If we come out and put a new chimney on the house because we cracked the other one, the old one, will you change the review to 5 stars? We never do that, right? We never make offers. We never offer a gift card. We never ask them publicly to change their review if we do this. Part of it is that, one, that looks bad. But two, it's not going to stop the next person 3 months later from posting a 1-star review just so you offer them a new chimney or $500 off their next service or whatever it might be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now what do we ever want to offer rewards? Here's a $100 gift certificate if you leave us a 5-star review on Yelp. That's probably not a good idea, is it?
Well, so there's 2 ways that we like to do it, right? One thing that we would talk about doing would be $100 is a lot of money, right? Unless you're selling big flat commercial roofs.
Right.
$100 a review is a pretty expensive price. I think that there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, and Mrs. in that, let's talk about like that customer contact process. at the beginning, prepping them that we're going to ask, at the end, telling them they're going to hear from us, and simply saying something to the effect of, Mrs. Jones, by the way, we do send out a $10 Starbucks gift card to everybody who writes us that Yelp review. So when we're done and we do a great job, we appreciate the review if you're very satisfied, and you'll get to grab a cup of coffee on us, right? Because Starbucks is so expensive. That's not really a negative. Simply saying, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to give you this $100 if you write me a good review, that kind of goes against what we would advise, because you don't want to buy reviews. Right. You don't want to pay people flat out cash to write reviews. Offering a minor incentive, $10 Starbucks gift card, $5 McDonald's gift card, whatever it might be, right? Something small, that's not a big deal to us. But just simply trying to buy a review is not always, is absolutely flat out really. There's some guys in New York who are in a lot of trouble and I believe going to prison for doing it. But you don't want to buy reviews,
right?
But there's nothing wrong with giving a small reward or incentive at the same time. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yep. I agree. Well, before we wrap up, do you have any other tips that can help guide us along that's going to get us more reviews? It's going to get us more positive reviews?
I think that one thing about doing, one tip would be, make sure that you go online and you own these profiles, you claim them, you've gone there, you can log into them, you can edit them, you can post pictures, and that they have accurate business information, right? Because reality is that if Mrs. Jones goes to write the review on Angie's List, but she's not 100% sure it's your Angie's List profile, that might cause her to leave, to kind of abandon the process. We can't comment on reviews. If we don't own the profiles, we can't comment on a bad review. We can't post pictures. We can't really manage the process from some of that standpoint. So that would be one kind of tip, that go out, claim these profiles, know what the logins are, make sure they have the right business name, the right phone number, the right logo, make sure you know how to log into them, and just make sure that they're an accurate representation of your business. Because that way, when you do get the good reviews and you're asking people to leave things, they're going to know it's you. They're going to know it's the right people. So that would be one kind of other tip that would be important.
And that's very important, from what I understand, is to be consistent on all the sites. So when you're claiming your profile or your page, you've got to have the same thing consistently throughout the internet, whether it's, and from what I understand, it could come down to where it's suite number 5 or the numbered 5 or something else along those lines. You're going to come up with different, that could be a problem for you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good point, right? So, I mean, to some extent, that is the issues, like the fact that the stuff, this information is being translated by machines, where a human knows that suite 5, unit 5, and number 5 are all the same place. Unfortunately, in the worlds of the machines, those are 3 different addresses, really. So it can create a little confusion, right? Part of creating that synchronized name, address, phone number across all these sites is that when someone goes to Google and types in Dave's Roofing San Francisco, and all these different sites say Dave's Roofing, City San Francisco, phone number is the same, address is exactly the same, it's going to give Google more confidence in putting those review sites into the search results, if that makes sense. So it's going to actually, one, make sure people know the name of your business and can call the phone number that's working and gets to you. But at the same time, it's also going to give Google more confidence that, yeah, we should put Dave's Yelp page in the results, because where he has 10 5-star reviews, or put his Facebook page in, or put his Angie's List page in, or put his BBB page in, right? That's kind of how that ties back, if that makes sense.
And there was I ran across a company at one point that will do that for you. They'll go through across 100 of these sites and make sure that everything's consistent for you. Do you know about that?
Yeah, so there's a couple different companies that do it. The biggest one is a software provider called Yext. It's Y-E-X-T. We're an official partner of theirs, actually. They're, I believe, getting ready to actually make a public filing. So they're a pretty large software provider who's really moving in this space to help with this, because the challenge is that there's a new site with new addresses coming up every day, and these guys allow you to kind of, from one place, put the right business information, the right name, address, phone number, business hours, pictures, services, you can kind of push it all to about, right now, I think it's about 70 plus, maybe 100. Now, 100 is a little high for contractors. There are some other niche industries like restaurants that can go to over 100. For a roofer, it's probably about 70, but it does go to these 70 sites and it really puts out that stuff. It's very consistent. It's a very across the board, right? So yeah, and I mean, that's another one of the softwares or tools that can really help throughout this whole process.
And I'll link to all these in the show notes so everybody can take a look at them and we'll get more information. So, well, that's great stuff, Aaron. Tell me a little more about your company. Let's say this all sounds pretty complicated and a lot of work. You know, I just don't want to screw around with it. Is this something you guys can help us with?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, Alta Vista, we're a marketing firm. We were at the Roof Expo. We gave a speech there. We also kind of had a booth out there. Our company is 6 years old. We do all kinds of marketing and we support about 160 contractors in 30 different states. And our function is we help them build and execute a lot of their marketing work, right? So it's doing all of this sort of work. It's claiming all the profiles. It's posting pictures on Facebook and Yelp and Google My Business and doing all that type of work, right? It really goes so far as we help our clients. One, we want to understand what their goals are in terms of growth and sales and marketing. And then we kind of help them build an integrated plan that might use email, Google search, social media, digital advertising, review generation, all different kind of marketing tactics to kind of accomplish those goals with our team of there's four owners over here and 16 full-time employees. Our team runs the operation. So it's not so much just simply saying, hey, Dave, go buy this software and use it to get more reviews. We'll help you get the software, but we're also going to behind the scenes make sure we're using it and actively engaged in it and maximizing the benefits of a software to accomplish getting more reviews or getting the right business listing out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. And now how do we get to your website and how do our listeners get in contact with you?
Cool. Yeah. So my website is www.altavistasp.com. Our full name is Alta Vista Strategic Partners. You can type it into Google. We have some decent reviews. Our phone number will pop up that way. To get to me personally, my Aaron Hockle, I'm on LinkedIn. You can just type me in. I'm the only one out there, I believe. But then also my email is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at altavistasp.com. And my phone number is direct to my desk is 443-960-4004.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's some great information you gave us here today. And sounds like you got a one-stop shopping deal there at your place. And I urge the listeners to get in contact with you, check out your website, see what you got, and check out some of these links in the show notes. And I very much appreciate you coming on the show, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. No, Dave, I appreciate you having me out. And I would also tell your listeners that if anybody who reaches out to me just says, hey, you know, I heard you on Dave Sullivan's show, we would do a free consultation and talk anyway. But if you mention the show, look, we're more than happy to kind of help you evaluate your current reputation, tell you where you might need a little help and kind of give you some strategy and some pointers. No obligation, no cost, no nothing. So if anybody has any questions, we are more than available and more than happy. But I really do appreciate the opportunity to kind of speak to your audience and hopefully I can come back and talk about something else sometime in the future.
You bet, man. Good talking to you and we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Take care. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's show. If you want to get a copy of my one-page business plan, where you can create a professional business plan in just a few hours, go to theroofershow.com where you can download it for free. Simply answer the questions, fill in the PDF, and print. Short and sweet. And as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.